Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
We had a really good day today at practice. I saw very competitive periods on both sides. Like, we had a tough physical short yardage period today, and it was a lot of back and forth. Guys did a great job up front, D-line, O-line. Those guys were competing and battling. That's what you see every day. Our receivers and DBs, those guys competing. Receivers making plays, DBs making plays on the football. We have a really competitive team. That's my takeaway from our camp thus far, and that's how it should be. So I'm excited just to see these guys go play against someone else. It is that time of camp where it's going to be a little more chirpy. You're going to see fights and scuffles happening, but it's just you get tired of hitting the same person. You get tired of going against the same schemes over and over again. So it's that time for us to go play a game.
Yeah, it was chippy yesterday. It was good. Day three here today, Texans training camp live at the Greenbrier, and we are literally live at the Greenbrier Sports Performance Center this morning. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne, we're sitting on the 25-yard line right next to the practice field, underneath the tent. This is how it's supposed to feel. The Airbnb studio was nice. It worked great. It served its purpose. But now we're out here. We got the lawnmowers going.
Yeah.
We got the few stragglers, you know, like not stragglers, but like a few early risers coming out here and doing some things.
Yeah, certainly not stragglers. Yeah. It's mostly coaches and others that are out getting their workout in.
Yeah.
I judge them for it.
They're running barefoot over there in the grass.
That's the big thing these days.
That looks delightful.
Sean.
Proprioception. Yeah, and Matt Collins.
Yes, this is all true. We can see the fog filling the valley off in the distance.
Yeah.
We have a lightly traveled interstate to our left. But no toaster. I don't have a toaster the way I had back at the Airbnb.
That is true. Bring your own bagels, baby.
It's been a competitive camp. Obviously, anybody that's been paying attention the last couple weeks knows that the defense has largely been getting better than the offense. The offense has showed progress in fits and starts. I think yesterday the biggest promising sign was that you saw movement by the offensive line in the run game. There was some physicality there that showed up. And lo and behold, when Nick Chubb can see good blocking in front of him, he's still got a little something in him. You know, Nick coming off of that really, really bad knee injury from a couple seasons ago, it's going to be an ongoing process, and we really won't know until we see him in live action just maybe where he is. But you want to see him do it in an environment where he's got good blocking in front of him. This Texans offensive line, if they can improve in one area right now from last year that I think is going to be a real thing, I think it's the physicality and getting push in the run game. I think they're better suited to that.
They're definitely better this time this year than they were this time last year, for sure. It was a disaster at training camp last year. Haven't been great this year, but we're kind of grading on a curve because they're putting in, you know, it's a completely new offensive line. Titus is back at right tackle these last couple practices. That's the only commonality. They're installing a new system. They're going against a really good defense. You guys know all the caveats that go with the Texans' offensive performance here. But let's start there. We'll give you our kind of summary of day two and what we saw out here, your eyes and ears out here at the Greenbrier. And let's start where Seth was just talking about. Nick Chubb had his best day in training camp so far. As of right now, Nick Chubb is a really important component to the 2025 Houston Texans, because we don't know what the situation really is with Joe Mixon, other than he's going to be out probably for training camp, and they're going to reevaluate him before week one. And everybody behind Nick Chubb is either injured. You know, Damian Pierce came back to practice yesterday, but really just working out on the side, and inexperienced. Woody Marks, Jawar Jordan, J.J. Taylor's been around a while, but if I had to guess, he's not going to really factor in when everybody's healthy again.
Yeah, and then, Ogunbowale, Brooks. British Brooks can play both fullback and running back. And then so much of this, and it's the hardest part to evaluate, is the special teams aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about guys running down on punt team, running down on kickoff, being on punt return and kickoff return, there's a lot to sort through that the coaches and Frank Ross obviously are going to be weighing heavily in the decision. But we're relatively blind to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So Nick Chubb had his best day yesterday, highlighted by, I think, what would have been about a 25 or 30 yard run in a regular game. In practice here, they blow the whistle and they stop when the guy gets in the clear. But Chubb had some other good runs, too. Had a little bit of wiggle in the hole. It wasn't bad. Here was D'Amico Ryans after practice yesterday. First question right out of the chute was about Nick Chubb.
Nick has been consistent. He's done a really good job. Like I said, I see a very physical runner when he has the football in his hands. Does a really nice job in protection schemes of staying square, picking up the blitzes from the defenders. He's just overall all around solid, consistent. He's gotten better every day that he's been here.
One of the first elements that a football player needs to have, and this never really makes it to the motivational posters or anything, but it's really just, don't bleep up my drill, man. Don't bleep up my play call. Don't screw up whatever I'm trying to run on this play. Yeah. First do no harm. There's a Hippocratic oath of making a football team, mm-hmm. and it's that first do no harm. And that is where the advantage of having a veteran running back at times is. It's in the pass protection. It's in running the play that's executed. I think that, or that's called, and executing it properly. I think if there's a difference between Chubb and Mixon, if you take both of them at their prime, I think Chubb is a little bit less of a freelancer. And that can be an asset. Mixon, he'll kind of bounce it outside sometimes where he should be hitting it upfield, and it's not a huge deal because he's really good at it. Chubb's more of a just hit the hole and go and create a bunch of mayhem afterwards. So I like that complement of those two. And I think when it comes to if he can be 80 or 90% of what he was at his peak, he's a guy that can consistently churn out positive yardage. And he can be an asset in pass protection. He can do all those things that might not be peak Nick Chubb, but are still really valuable to a team if you want a consistent offense.
D'Amico's not afraid to pay really high compliments to people when they look really, really good out here. I think he's very forthright and honest. He's never going to throw a player under the bus and say they're bad. He'll find some way to maneuver around that. I felt like with Chubb right there, he wasn't describing somebody who's really, like, popped out here at camp, like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
But it's like if you were describing an automobile, and D'Amico, if you were describing, like, Derek Stingley or Will Anderson, he's describing a Lamborghini. And with Chubb, he was describing, like, a Toyota Camry. You know, it's going to get you to where you want to go. It's reliable. You can get plenty of miles on it.
Well, it'll get you 5 yards on
first and 10.
He said it earlier in camp. He basically conceded that Chubb right now isn't the guy he was when he was just an absolute monster. And it's not saying that he can't get back to that place. But you got to live in where we are now and what he is right now, and can he contribute. Yesterday, and again, it's all predicated on, is there actually good blocking in front of him? You saw some examples of actually good blocking, not just on his long run, but on some of the inside runs. That's where I was more encouraged, because those interior offensive linemen are very much in flux and big question marks right now about who's going to start, other than Lake and Tomlinson at left guard.
Yeah.
If they can get push like that, if they can get movement, then you can be an offense that's not routinely stuck in the mud if you try to run the ball on first down.
So it's good seeing Chubb do some things yesterday, and that run game is going to be really important. Let's skip over to the defense. Ben, let's skip down to Kamari Lassiter here, because we've got to get the props in for Kamari Lassiter, who was he was the best player on the field yesterday. And during this camp, he might be the best defensive player not named Will Anderson. Will Anderson's been the star of this camp, in my opinion. But Kamari Lassiter was excellent yesterday. Had an early interception. The very next play after that Nick Chubb run that we were describing, the very next play, C.J. Stroud took a deep shot to Nico Collins, and Kamari Lassiter basically kind of ran the route for him. Like, it looked like the pass was intended for Kamari Lassiter. Great hands, came down with it. Later in team drills, CJ was trying to find Xavier Hutchinson on a pass, kind of, you know, linebacker level, about 8 yards in front of the line of scrimmage. Kamari Lassiter comes in, physical, bumped, like legal play, tips the ball, ball goes up in the air, intercepts it, probably would have been a pick six. Another play, stride for stride with Nico Collins later in practice, almost a carbon copy of the interception, except it was a pass breakup, not an interception. Kamari Lassiter was and has been excellent throughout this training camp. Here's D'Amico Ryans on Kamari Lassiter.
Kamari continues to improve just his details. And that's what sticks out about him. Like, a year two player who doesn't feel like a year two player. He's continuing to ascend, continuing to make plays, continue to push himself to be in those tough spots, you know, going against Nico, going against Higgins. Like, those are tough guys to go against, and he battles every single day, and he finds a way to make a play. And I think he made two picks today on the football. So it's impressive to see such a young player who's always dialed in, always bringing great energy and great emotion to our defense, and the guys, they really vibe with that, and he's a spark plug for our team.
The thing about Kamari, it's interesting in camp. We were talking yesterday about who have been the bright spots in camp, and Kamari has very much been one of them. And We don't mention Derek Stingley. I think because Derek Stingley has now entered that phase of his career that you see with good cornerbacks where early in their career, a lot of picks, a lot of PBUs, and then as they become a known quantity and they become true masters of their trade, they don't necessarily see a whole lot of action. Mm-hmm. And Kamari, I think in games this year too, is going to be the guy that quarterbacks are going to test more. And he's probably going to end up making even more plays than he made last year, partly just because people have learned their lesson about Derek Stingley.
That's a great point. I sit here and say Kamari's been the second best player out here to Will Anderson. He's been the second best guy in terms of the amount of plays he's making.
Right.
The chances are Derek Stingley Jr. might be the best player out here, just nobody tests
it's
him
just,
ever.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't
just
see the ball.
He's got things on lockdown.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go back and look at most great cornerbacks. They've got a slew of interceptions in their first few years, and then they kind of trail off even as they become better players.
Yeah, that's Stingley. In fact, D'Amico was asked about that after practice, about Kamari. Is Kamari Lassiter prepping for more targets this season because Derek Stingley Jr. had such success last year?
We prepare all of our guys the same. You know, I don't try to go in predicting exactly who they're going to try to attack or what they would do schematically. I just know that I want to have two great guys on the edge of our defense that's up front rushing and also in the pass coverage who can make a play. If you go to any side, we want it to be tough. So as they want to challenge Kamari, great. They want to challenge Stingley, great. We feel good about both of those guys being able to make a play versus any one-on-one matchup.
It's nice to be a head coach and you can honestly say that about your two cornerbacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sure, if they want to challenge D'Angelo Ross, great. If they want to challenge Derek Stingley, great.
Well, remember when D'Amico was in San Francisco, it was Lenore who was the cornerback,
yeah.
The kind of the lesser cornerback. And D'Amico, the pep talk he gave him was in the playoffs, hey, this is your opportunity. They're going to test you. This is your opportunity. And I don't know if – I think Kamari played well enough last year that that's not the same situation. The upside of Lassiter is a lot higher than the upside of Lenore, obviously. So, trying to plan for that or scheme for it or anything, that's getting on the verge of trying to be too clever.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to play the game as it comes to you, and you start trying to outsmart everybody on every level. Just go out and play good, fundamentally sound defense. The defense has played well enough, and it's not like last year where the defense was destroying the offense, and it was, you'd find out, okay, the offense was worse than we maybe thought it was.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, because of what the defense did last year and because of some of the known quantities that are struggling on offense, you know, the way that defense has been able to take away Nico Collins a lot, that's where I feel like this defense might really ascend to an extreme level this year.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of back in 2002, 2001, 2001 was the year before the Ravens won the Super Bowl, right?
No, they won in 2000.
They won in 2000. So, yeah. 99. I'm thinking in 99, the Ravens had they did some really impressive things defensively. But then 2000, all of a sudden, it just, like, they hit the nitrous,
yeah.
You know? And it just kind of feels like they might be about to hit the nitrous.
And won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer as their quarterback.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Which is what I was telling myself yesterday. I'm like, listen, you know, okay, the offense might take some time to gel.
Yeah.
All right? But I know for damn sure that C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback
than
Trent Dilfer, okay?
Thank you.
It doesn't have to be a scenario like the 2000 Ravens.
Yep.
It can be a little bit more balanced than that. And as long as if the defense can be that good, it gives you a little bit of a grace period while the offense figures things out.
No doubt. All right, we're off and running on a Wednesday. We are live, as you can see on YouTube and Twitch. We're live out here.
We'll be up live on YouTube in a second.
Okay.
If you bear with us, everybody,
okay.
We'll get the camera there as well.
Gotcha. Okay, we'll be up live momentarily. We're live at the Greenbrier. Up next, let's circle over to the Astros. They got a win last night, and I do want to. We didn't hit one thing in the open. We got the first of these at Texans training camp. We'll tell you what it was yesterday. Coming up next.